Well, I have something that I think is very important to share with you today. One of the biggest plagues in Christianity is people who received rejection spirits through their relationship with their earthly parents and or inherited them through the bloodline, and who now relate to their heavenly father or spiritual fathers in the faith in the same way because of these deceiving spirits. And I know that this is also what spawned the faction movement. So this revelation, which was sent to us by an anonymous person, whom I know, we called it Rejection Lied, Father Loves Me. And Anonymous said, I hope this will help the saints not to fall into the same traps of Satan. It was sure an eye-opener for me, though. I wasn't realizing that the thoughts and feelings I was having were sinful and were grieving my Heavenly Father. Most people don't recognize that feelings of unworthiness and self-pity or self-loathing, which are all side effects of rejection, are sin and contribute to fear, doubt, and unbelief. Oh, and if you've got doubt and unbelief and fear, you are not going to be receiving the benefits that the Father has for you. That's why it's so important that we learn to do spiritual warfare and cast down vain thoughts and imaginations that are against the Word of God, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Anonymous goes on to say, they create a huge gulf between us and the saving power and deliverance of Jesus and keep us from receiving the gifts of God. This is so true, so true. I feel there are two manifestations of rejection. There may be more than two, but I know that rejection is the root demon and that it branches off in different directions sometimes. And what is said here is certainly correct, that there are these two. She said one is that people lash out at others and defend themselves, and the other is that people turn inward on themselves in the form of self-loathing and unworthiness. Well, if you're one of these people, we have authority, if you recognize this, to cast these spirits out. And we do. We cast these spirits and their thoughts down from all who agree with the good news that Jesus bore this curse on the cross. So, saints, you believe it, you receive it. You reach out and take the gift from God. It's not important how it's stated or how you receive it. It's just your gift from heaven. And Anonymous went on to say, I believe these issues go along with unforgiveness, even of oneself. I think there may be others besides me who have forgiven everyone except themselves. Oh, there are many. There are many. Unforgiveness of oneself or of Father God or even of spiritual fathers causes many much grief and gives the devil authority over us. Absolutely. Saints, I know if you're one of them, you know exactly what we're talking about. Don't let pride, don't let unforgiveness, don't let criticism stop you or separate you from God and His ministers. And don't let it stop you from being all you can be in the Lord. You know, cast down pride. Confess your sins one to another. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And your life will be totally different without that spirit of rejection, fear of rejection, criticism, pride, those things that come from it. Father has shown me in this dream that now it is time to forgive myself. I believe Father has shown me that this has been a main block to overcoming and receiving healing for trials and temptations. Yes, and I pray that the Father will give you or show you love and grace and forgiveness to all who have this need today. You know, I just, Father, we just ask you to have mercy upon those who are suffering from this plague, this curse, Lord, that you would show your love and your grace to these people. In Jesus' name. Anonymous said, there may be other things, but Father is being faithful to reveal these things to me, and I know he loves me in my head, but I desire to know it in my heart also. And this is where that hindrance of rejection is in your heart, in your thoughts. And we pray that all who hear these words and have a need to feel the love of the Father, that they will receive this today in Jesus' name. And, of course, we're going to post this revelation in, with a bunch of links below it that will help anybody that needs help in this direction. Anonymous says, it is his will that I be perfect in health, and I know he will be with me every step of the way, and that I will have a great testimony at the end. Well, I agree. In the name of Jesus Christ, I agree. I dreamed that I was in a white surveillance van parked outside of the home of an old Middle Eastern man who was a doctor. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Anonymous believes that this represents Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Amen. This is surely Jesus Christ who repairs broken lives and bodies, right? His home was my childhood home. Well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? But no, many people's hurts start in their childhood. But our healer was there, and he knows of these hurts, and he is meeting those needs today. I remember that this house faced the east, which is, of course, the coming of the sun in our lives, S-O-N. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Not your earthly household, the household of God, who is a perfect Father, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. By the way, this is something that is not possible with the spirit of rejection. It's impossible to be one with the body of Christ. It's impossible to be one with a wife or a husband who has a spirit of rejection. They are afraid to get close to other people. There is a companion spirit called the fear of rejection that won't let them get close to people, or they won't let people get close to them because of this fear. 22 goes on to say, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. I was watching the doctor closely through a pair of very powerful binoculars. I watched every move he made and studied all of his activities and his comings and goings. He was very predictable and seemed like a nice, gentle man. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. When you study the Jesus of the Gospel, saints, that's him, right? The one who went about meeting people's needs and rebuking their oppressors, etc., etc. I was studying him from afar. because I was fearful of him and concerned about his activities. Anonymous said, this represents trying to understand the Father through natural senses and finite understanding, and assigning our own human nature and qualities to our Heavenly Father. Trying to make Him into our image and trying to understand His ways through a human perspective. And this causes us to be fearful of God in the wrong kind of way. We cannot understand God through our own intellect. We need the Holy Spirit to understand anything about God and His ways. Yes, because the Holy Spirit is the one who knows God, and He's the one who reveals God. God's foreordained plan is to transform us, starting at our beginning, which is the dirt, right? And He sows the seed in that dirt. That natural man, that natural life is the dirt. It is corrupt. It was inherited from our parents. But our natural life, which is the dirt, cannot be compared with the eternal seed of the sons of God that's sowed in the dirt. All sons and daughters of God must be saved from sin so that they know and understand grace and God's unmerited favor. God didn't choose perfect people. He chose people that needed to be saved, in order to that they would understand grace, unmerited favor. They would understand mercy, right? Because they would not deserve it. And they would know that. It's fertile ground for a seed of the Son of God, but you must reject the old man who is a product of these demons that are passed on down from generation to generation or inherited through your relationship with your parents. Either way, you have to reject that and those thoughts too, because this is a lying spirit. Anonymous said, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Well, that's right. Jesus' giving heart, his kindness and graciousness to men, exhibited in the Gospels, is an example of our Heavenly Father's love for us. And he cries out to us, much like Isaiah 55:6-9 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Remember the story of the prodigal son, right? The father's arms were wide open, waiting for his trashed-up son to come home. And he met him with love, right? Verse 8 goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God didn't inherit the ways of men. He didn't inherit rejection. He doesn't have that. Men have that, and their fear of rejection. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. He is high, he is holy, he is righteous. Don't forget it. Don't attribute evil to God. Don't attribute sin or the sin nature that you receive from your parents to God. He is a perfect father. And no, he's not a mother. There's a lot of goofiness going on out there. But anyway, John 14:8-10. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Well, men would love to know the nature of the Father, and Jesus is saying, look at me. I'm his offspring. Look at me, and you'll know the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. So what we see when we read about Jesus' kindness and his love is we see the Father manifested through the Son. Anonymous went on to say, one day when this kind doctor went out on an errand, I decided to go inside his house and find out what was inside and what he was doing in there. I thought he might be doing something to hurt the children. This represents viewing God as an angry and punishing father. Many, like myself, who have had this type of earthly father, may unconsciously project that experience onto our Heavenly Father. Yes, or spiritual fathers. It happens. I know the Lord has spoken to me and told me the reason that a person with rejection couldn't have a relationship with me is because they saw me as their Heavenly Father. That demon in them was speaking to them that I was just like their earthly father. So I know exactly what Anonymous's revelation here is about. And besides that, I inherited through the bloodline and through relationship to a spirit of rejection concerning my earthly father. And this unconsciously projecting that rejection experience onto our Heavenly Father is caused by a spirit of rejection that will keep you from an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father and from being able to receive all the benefits that He has for you. Luke 11, 9 through 13 says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It sounds like our Father has a special relationship with us to meet our needs, no matter what they are. The fact that He loves us so much that He would send Jesus to sacrifice His life to meet all of our spiritual and physical needs should say something to us. But these deceiving spirits are continually speaking in a person's mind. Thoughts that are not his thoughts, as he said. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, unless of course you believe that you're unworthy, and that God wouldn't do this for you. You listen to those lying spirits, right? Every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. How gracious! How undeserving we are of such things, right? And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone? Or a fish, and he give for a fish, give him a serpent? He for a fish, give him a serpent. Well, some people think that about God, you know. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He's not going to give something that is evil or threatening to his child. We ask him for good things, that's what he's going to give us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask. Ask for his Holy Spirit. Not these evil spirits that have been inherited through the natural bloodline. Ask. Be filled with His Holy Spirit. Some people can't receive the Holy Spirit because they feel that they are unworthy. Well, in a way that's true, but we're counted as worthy through our faith. And really that's just a moot point, because if the Lord said it, He will do it. Anonymous said, when I went inside, I saw that he had a bunch of servants. And in parenthesis, she has angels. And I add, too, that earthly ministers, too, are so. Servants just mean messengers, right? Or angels, excuse me, just means messengers, right? Who were preparing many gift packages out of the gifts that the doctor had made for the children. So our doctor, our physician, our great physician, actually physician is a bad word, and so is doctor, but the Lord is trying to relate to us to something that we know in this world, right? The truth is the word is healer, iatros, healer. The Lord is a healer. But the Lord wants you to see this parable of a doctor who wants to give gifts to his children. A healer who wants to give gifts to his children. They were wrapping them in clear cellophane wrapping and getting them ready for delivery. And we know from Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, but which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, these are the sons and daughters of God that these ministering spirits were created to serve, to bless, to deliver. Amen? He must love us very much. These gifts represent salvation through Jesus and the promises of Father in His Word to us. Romans 11, 28 through 32 says, as touching the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, when God's people have even gone astray from Him, they are beloved for the Father's sake. When the father in the parable of the prodigal son, when his son returned, he loved him just as much. He was much more relieved that he was now safe, but he loved him just as much because he was his son, right? God has many sons and daughters out there doing their own thing. They're away from Him into the curse, not realizing that He already delivered them from all this, right? Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are not repented of. For as ye in time past were disobedient to God, but now have obtained mercy by their disobedience, even so have these also now been disobedient, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. Amen. So God has, from among the Jews and among the Gentiles, children of His that will ultimately bear fruit. Amen. For God has shut up all unto disobedience that He might have mercy upon all. What does this mean? Well, it means that God only saves sinners because they understand mercy and grace. They don't deserve what they're receiving, yet they're receiving it from a merciful God. He wants to prove His love and His mercy and His grace. And God gives these gifts in manifold ways to bestow upon the needy. In other words, He makes us spiritual fathers too. You know, in Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul said, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teacheth to his teaching, or he that exhorteth to his exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Well, amen. The gifts were all over the house, on tables and along the floors next to the walls. I was surprised at all these wonderful gifts that he had prepared, and then I felt ashamed. I had thought that he meant to do harm to the children, and that I didn't trust him. Then I realized that so many of these gifts had been sitting in their places for a long time because many of the children felt the same way towards the doctor that I had felt. And I thought to myself, if only they could see these gifts. Well, think about that, saints. God has so many things to give you. He's made so many awesome promises. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. He's made tremendous promises to give you his gifts. Not only of the ministry gifts, but the gifts of his life and his love to you. If only they could see these gifts. They've been sitting there waiting for so long because people felt the same way that Anonymous felt here towards the doctor, that he was a hard person. Then my husband, and I believe that this represents Jesus, came up behind me and encouraged me to go lay down and rest on the large king-size bed that was in the middle of the living room. I guess that represents the rest. Jesus wants us to enter into the rest, which is what? According to Paul in Hebrews, it's believing the promises. You don't have a problem. The Lord has supplied all of your needs through His promises. We just need to believe, right? And I was still fearful of the doctor because, even though I saw all the wonderful gifts that he had prepared for the children, I felt that he didn't intend any of those gifts for me. And I thought he would be angry at me for intruding into his house and doubting his person. And they said, this is representative of a lying spirit of rejection. If we listen to these lies, it will keep us from receiving all the gifts that the Father has intended us to have. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. The word of the promise is useless to many people, because they don't think it's for them. It's always for someone else. They think that's who God will give it to, someone else. But no. It's your fault because you don't believe him, because you have believed a lying spirit. You're not casting down that imaginations that are against the knowledge of God. So I decided to lay on my right side, get this, underneath the bed. Not on the bed of rest, but underneath the bed. My husband was disappointed and didn't agree with this. But he loved me so much that he still went and laid next to me under the bed with his arm around me to bring comfort and peace to me. Isn't that just like Jesus? Well, many are living beneath their privilege and relationship with Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God through him. He has provided all things for us, including his love, his mercy, and his grace. Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Does this mean these things when they come, if they come? Does this mean that the Lord does not love us? No. He says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall any of these things? No. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. I can hear somebody saying, you see there? We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. We endure the death of the old man of self so that we might be with God, so that we might think as he thinks and live as he lives. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from his love. The underneath of the bed was very high up so that I could sit up underneath it, and there was a blue transparent bed skirt that I could see the front door and the rest of the living room through. In other words, I believe that the place of rest on the top of the bed is high up in heavenly places. Laying underneath represents being overcome by our carnal mind, Anonymous says. Romans 8 and 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. If what you're thinking is not giving you life and peace, it's the mind of the flesh. If what you're thinking robs you of the benefits of the kingdom that you see other people around you enjoying, it's probably a spirit of rejection and fear of rejection, feelings of unworthiness, and so on and so forth, self-hatred, etc., etc. I then saw the doctor come in through the front door. I watched his every move while laying under the bed through the transparent bed skirt. My husband gently said to me, let's get out from under here. It's okay. It's safe. So I came out from under the bed, but I couldn't face the doctor. He knew what my thoughts were, and saw the brokenness of my being. He knew I felt unworthy of his gifts and his love, and this saddened him. He longed for me to come to him and receive his love with open arms. Hebrews 3 and 17 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Anonymous says, fear, doubt, and unbelief are sin, and it grieves the Father. Spirits of rejection, self-loathing, self-pity, and unworthiness hide very well in religion and in those who are under the law and self-works. We must not forget that it is the sacrifice of our Savior and the grace of the Father that we are counted worthy and reckoned as righteous. Well, amen. This is what we must believe for deliverance. We must believe the gospel. The Lord took everything through the reconciliation. He took everything negative about what we received through the bloodline, the natural bloodline. He took it upon himself, and he gave us his blood, his righteous blood, his pure blood. No sin in his blood. No demons in his blood. Right? He made reconciliation, which means an exchange of his life for ours. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. We no longer have to submit to spirits of rejection. I went out and sat on the front porch on the first step. I was feeling hopeless when suddenly I saw the doctor's hand place a love letter to my right on the step next to me. She said, "The Word of God is His love letter to us and all His promises in it. This is always the first step to victory over the enemy and his lies." Well, amen. Let your be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to think right. Folks, we come to Him with a virus in our computer program, and it needs to be cleansed, right? We read the Word of God. We read it day and night. We put His words before our mind. We let them be on our tongue so that we can have what He has. She said, "I looked at it. It was in a white business envelope with my name written on it, with fancy lettering like calligraphy. I then looked away from it as tears rolled down my face and a pain went through my heart. I was afraid to read it and afraid to accept His love. Then the evil voice of rejection told me that if I opened it, there would be nothing but rebukes and words of rejection and condemnation. Self-pity said that I didn't need any more of that in my life. And self-loathing said, 'How could you even think that He could love you?' All the while, my spirit man inside knew how special I was to the doctor. But the lies of the enemy were casting me down, discouraging me, and making me feel unworthy. And, I might say, so that they would have no faith towards God and miss out on all of His benefits, as the demons plotted to do." Amen. "I wanted to leave the letter there, unopened, and slide down a yellow slide that appeared now in front of me off of the porch." A yellow slide. You reckon that has anything to do with fearfulness or being chicken? As we say, yeah, too afraid to accept this gift. That's called the fear of rejection. "My husband appeared behind me and again told me, 'Please, don't go. Open the letter. It's a love letter just for you. He wrote it just for you. Can't you see how much He loves you? You are so special to Him.' I could see past my husband and through the wall of the house that the doctor was sad that I was ignoring his special letter that he had written just for me. I wanted to believe so much that I was special to him, but at the same time, I was afraid to let myself believe it because I was afraid that my trust in him would be betrayed." That's fear of rejection again. "And that eventually he would turn on me in a punishing way." That's fear of rejection, fear of failure, etc., etc. It's an evil spirit that plagues the people of God. "And when I woke up, I knew that I was making Father sad because I wasn't trusting him for his gift of healing and deliverance from the enemy, and that I needed to get back into His Word to renew my mind daily and remind myself of His love for me." Amen. Get into His love letter. Let it get down in your heart and heal you of all those wounds that were put there by demon spirits. No, don't blame the other person. They just are suffering probably the same things from their parents on down. They were victims too. Pity them. Don't be angry or unforgiving towards anyone who unknowingly or being incapable of loving because of these spirits. Ephesians 6, 16 and 17 says, withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what a helmet is for, right? It's to protect your mind, right? The helmet of God's salvation. He saved you from the very things that are being spoken in your mind by these evil spirits. And use your sword of the Spirit. They cannot resist the sword of the Spirit. Use it on them. No. Thus saith the Lord. And you stick them with that sword, the Word of God, right? I asked the Father for a verse or a text through faith at random for this dream. And he couldn't have picked a better love letter. My finger landed on Psalm 40 and 11. But here it is in context. Psalm 40 and 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Let it be, Lord. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be set in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. But so many are not partaking of the benefits of all of God's good desires for us. Sacrifice and offering Thou hast no delight in. Mine ears hast Thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast Thou not required, in the natural, that is. Then said I, lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. That's what makes us delight to do His will. God writes His law upon our heart when we read the Word of God. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. Amen. It's good news, saints. That's what it's called, the good news. Amen. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great assembly. Withhold not Thou Thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let Thy loving kindness and Thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. That is just like the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart hath failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Innumerable demon spirits seek to destroy your soul. All they have to do is write their words upon your heart, your mind, your thoughts, instead of you writing God's word upon your mind and your thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. believe God, don't believe the demons. We inherited some of these from our parents, or we received them through relationships and things that we went through, you know. Either way, the Lord loves us, and He wants to save us from all of these things. We have to believe His Word. We have to put His Word into our mind enough so that it overcomes those things that we've inherited that are in there, right? Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Yes, amen. Let them be desolate by reason of their shame that say unto me, Aha! Aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Yea, amen, amen. God loves you, saints. You didn't come to the Father on your own. He chose you and caused you to approach unto Him, the Bible says. He drew you with His love. I'm going to put some other links on this revelation, and Brad will post them, and I hope you'll pay attention to all these if you've ever had any dose of this rejection or fear of rejection or unworthiness or whatever, any of these things. And one of them is a letter to a prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son, right? He went out into the world and basically disgraced his father, but his father was ready to receive him when he came back, repented, and grieved at his actions. Another is called Freedom of Forgiveness. How that a person whose parents had rejection, and they did too, how that when they forgave, the Spirit's power in their family was broken. And deliverance from rejection and its fear, which is my own experiences with rejection and explanations of a couple of branches of rejection and how to be delivered from it by faith in God. It's very simple. But it's too good to be true to some people. However, some have read this and obeyed and acted in faith and been delivered. Again, let me say this. If you've been delivered of rejection and its fear, and you have unforgiveness towards other people, it will come back. You must forgive everybody. If you refuse to do that, you are not forgiven. If you are not forgiven, the curse is on you. You're not forgiven for your past sins, therefore you cannot be cleansed for your past sins. You must forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. People try to twist this, but it's just simply not twistable. And another one article we're going to put here is seeing others through eyes of faith. That is, we are to see other people through our faith for them. That is, we're supposed to exercise faith for others just like we exercise faith for ourselves. And in doing this, our mind and our thoughts and our emotions change towards these people. When we pray, Jesus said, when you pray, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. When you pray for people that you may have had past resentment for or bitterness for, when you pray for them and you're believing for them, and you know that this is the only way that they have of ever getting delivered of these spirits that are taking advantage of them, when you're doing this, you're changing your mind towards them. So pray and believe for them. Believe for the salvation that God gave to you freely, even though you were unworthy. That salvation that he gave to you, he will give to them, as unworthy as they are. Right? Man, God is so good. Father, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you will deliver your people who are listening, who so desire to be free from these demonic bondages. Father, they know that this has ruined their relationship with other people, ruined their relationship with you, ruined their relationship with ministers of the gospel who love them. They know that these things have happened, Lord, and I ask you, Father, to send forth your grace and your mercy and grant repentance and send your delivering power to them. We know, Lord, that because of what Jesus did at the cross, that we were already delivered from the power of darkness, who delivered us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He delivered us. It is done. We are to accept it, speak it, thank God for it, praise Him for it. It is done. You've been freed, saints. He made you free from sin. Romans chapter 6. I think he said that about 3 times there. He made you free from sin. He nailed your sin upon that cross. That is the thing that demons take advantage of, is the sin nature. But they have nothing if you give it up to the cross. He nailed it on the cross. He gave you His life at the cross. So, Father, we are thanking you for moving mightily in the hearts and minds of the saints out there and touching them and meeting their needs and sending them to people who can agree in faith with them that they are delivered and speak the words of faith over them if necessary. Or go to our page on the site called Deliverance from Rejection and Its Fear, and pray those prayers and agree with them. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you do a mighty work in delivering your people out of bondage to Satan so they may be free. Many husbands and wives are estranged from one another because of spirits of rejection. Nobody with a spirit of rejection can be one with anyone else. It's just not possible. They usually get resentment. They hear things that are not true. They believe things that are not true. They don't exercise faith for their mate or their mother or their father or their children. There will be a separation of children from the parents who have rejection. This is a destroyer of families. It is a faction all in itself, even though there is another spirit called faction that obviously quite often joins with rejection to destroy people's lives. So, Father, we're thanking you for the grace that we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.